welcome to episode 8 of Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is your favorite Largo Library podcast, bringing you information about great books, library news, and library tidbits, as well as the Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. A fascinating, detailed account of Japanese court life in the 11th century, written by a lady of the court at the height of the Heian culture. This book enthralls with its lively gossip, witty observations, and subtle impressions. Lady Shonagon was the erstwhile rival of Lady Murasaki, whose novel, The Tale of Genji, fictionalized the elite world Lady Shonagon so eloquently relates. Featuring reflections on royal and religious ceremonies, nature, conversation, poetry, and many other subjects, this is an intimate look at the experiences and outlook of the Heian upper class. Today's Reader's Advisory is The Pillow Book by Sei Shonagon. The Pillow Book is the diary and thoughts of the Japanese court by Lady Sei Shonagon. It is full of 164 lists titled such things as Things That Make the Heart Grow Fonder, and Things That Make One Nervous. Poetic and full of historical details about Heian court, the footnotes and annotations add necessary details for modern readers. Readers may also enjoy The Tale of Genji by Murasaki Shikibu. Written in the 11th century, this portrait of courtly life in medieval Japan is widely celebrated as the world's first novel. The Tale of Genji is a very long romance, running to 54 chapters and describing the court life of Heian Japan from the 10th century into the 11th. Or, The Confessions of Lady Nijo by Lady Nijo. In about 1307, a remarkable woman in Japan sat down to complete the story of her life. The result was an autobiographical narrative, a tale of 36 years in the life of Lady Nijo. Starting when she became the concubine of a retired emperor in Kyoto at the age of 14 and ending, several love affairs later, with an account of her new life as a wandering Buddhist nun. Through the vagaries of history, however, the glory of Lady Nijo's story has taken 6.5 centuries to arrive. The Confessions of Lady Nijo was not widely circulated after it was written, perhaps because of the dynastic quarrel that soon split the imperial family. Or perhaps because of Lady Nijo's intimate portrait of a very human emperor. Whatever the cause, the book was neglected, then forgotten completely, and only a single manuscript survived. This was finally discovered in 1940, but would not be published until after World War II in 1950. Or, As I Crossed a Bridge of Dreams by Lady Sarashina. Born in AD 1008 at the height of the Heian period, Lady Sarashina probably wrote most of her work towards the end of her life, long after the events described. Thwarted and saddened by the real world with all its deaths and partings and frustrations, Lady Sarashina protected herself by a barrier of fantasy and so escaped from harsh reality into a rosier, more congenial realm. She presents her vision of the world in beautiful prose, the sentences flowing along smoothly so that we feel we are watching a magnificent scroll being slowly unrolled. Bonus segment, my personal favorite Goodreads list The Pillow Book is on is the best books to read when the snow is falling. Happy reading, everyone! Today's library tidbit comes to us from Peter Summers. Peter is the president of the Pinellas Genealogical Society and also maintains the PGS newsletter and coordinates between the different volunteers, consultants, and with us, the library. I'm really happy to have Pete on today. Thanks so much for coming on the pod.
Well, thank you, Hannah. I think maybe a decent place to start here would be to explain a little bit about what genealogy is, because depending on what your objectives in research are and where you are asking that question, the answer could be a little bit different. Typically, we think of genealogy as the examination of critical dates in a person's life, particularly birth, marriage, and death, and the relationship of one person to another as our ancestry unfolds as we do research. There's another area called family history that's closely allied with family research, and that's going another step beyond to gather information to understand the day-to-day lives that your ancestors lived. And it's just what it says, history, as opposed to just cold dates and facts. For all intents and purposes around here, when we talk about genealogy, we mean genealogy or family history. We're not splitting hairs at all. The Genealogy Center in the Largo Library is on the second floor, and it's really a great, great venue. It's about 3,500 square feet. That's a number that doesn't mean much to me until I start to think that that's bigger than my house, so that makes it even more impressive. And the focus we have up there in the center is to provide research materials to people who want to research their ancestry, and then just as importantly, provide assistance in using those materials. And by the time I'm done with this little explanation, I hope our listeners will see that we have something to offer everyone who is wanting to do research on their ancestors, beginner genealogists, as well as experienced researchers, those who want limited information, or those who are wanting to embrace the study of their family no matter where it takes them. Wherever you are on that spectrum, we seek to assist where needed in the adventure, and that's the whole purpose of our involvement with the Genealogy Center. And when I say our involvement with the center, I'm really talking about the Pinellas Genealogy Society. And I should take a minute to explain that relationship briefly. The society is housed, has its offices here at the library, conducts all of the genealogy education for the library, and conducts its own monthly meetings and programs open to the public and library patrons for free. So it's a real nice relationship, and part of that relationship involves providing volunteers that we call consultants in the library genealogy center to help assist patrons with their research. So when I say we, I'm really wearing two hats here. One is a representative of the society, and one is a pseudo-representative of the library itself. So I mentioned we had two focuses. One was providing research materials, and the other was to provide assistance in using those materials. Let me talk about the research materials first. There's a number of different categories that I tend to think of these materials as falling into that I can briefly review. One is reference books, and this is a really healthy collection of books, over 20,000 reference books relating to the study of family history. And I might add a little story on how the size of that collection came to be. Sometime several years ago, the public libraries in Pinellas County got together and decided that they should consolidate their genealogy resources in one central location for the benefit of people who are doing family research, so you wouldn't have to go to Clearwater to look at census documents and go to St. Petersburg to look at naturalization documents and so on. And Largo was chosen the place to be that central location. And so all those materials consolidated here gave us this wonderful collection we have. In addition to that, about one-third of the collection comes from the Genealogy Society, who gave that to the library for safekeeping when, in 1991, the society and the library came together. So reference books is one category. Published family histories. They're also reference books in a way. We just put them in a separate little location of their own in the Genealogy Center, and we have more than 1,000 of those. Then we also have a limited selection of microfilm, a large collection of microfiche, CD-ROMs, vertical files. Vertical files are nothing more than file folders containing research information that has not been published, but is located in the library in one central location and indexed so that patrons can find something if they wish, but The material is so loose leaf and so individualized that it's not included in the automated catalog. And then we have a collection of personal computers, six of them, that are used for internet searching and using the library databases, which I'll talk about a little bit later. So that's an overview of the research materials that we have. And I might add that that collection is international in scope. Sometimes we have people come into the Genealogy Center thinking that we're only going to offer research materials relative to Pinellas County ancestry or Florida ancestry. And that's not the case. Certainly, when you stop to think about it, hardly anybody who's here came from here in their ancestry. And so the reflection reflects that international interest that people have. We can help people trace their ancestry back to the Northeast and the original colonies or across the Atlantic to their original country if we wish. So the second focus next to providing research materials was providing assistance using those materials. The Society devotes a great deal of time and a great number of members who participate in this type of assistance. One group we call consultants. These are the volunteers that stay at the desk in the Genealogy Center and help patrons with their research questions, helping them get started doing research on the computer, or helping them find a reference book or any other resource that we might have available in that list that I just gave you. They provide all levels of help, and they have at their disposal a list of other volunteers who can offer focused assistance. So if somebody comes in who's particularly interested in DAR information, we have a person that we can tap into to provide that help. Or if someone comes in and is particularly interested in English research, then we have a area specialist we can refer to get that sort of help too. But the consultant is the person who's on the front lines, who will greet the patrons and start off providing any assistance that they might need. We also provide, I mentioned earlier, all the education, genealogy education for the library. So we have classes that are free and open to the public. And throughout, we have a great number of classes, about a total of 50 in our class list that we choose from throughout the year. And every week we'll have from 2 to 5 educational events going on at the library that are genealogy-oriented, all free, all open to the public. The classes we offer range from basic genealogy research to advanced research. An example of basic research class would be an introduction to genealogy in general, or how to document your sources as you do your research, or how to get organized, how to organize the research and the information that you collect as you do your research. Advanced classes might be studying naturalization records, what information they contain, and where you might find them, or doing research or military records. For each different war, what records were available, and how do you find a list of soldiers whose records you might be able to tap into in your research? We have a class list in several locations that you can have access to. There's a handout in the Genealogy Center that we keep up to date. It lists about 2 months worth of classes, and then when those run out, we replace it with a new handout. We also have the class list on our blog, and it's a relatively easy address to remember. It's flpgs.blogspot.com. And we have the class list in a PGS calendar on our website. And the website is PinellasGenealogySociety.com. Pinellas Genealogy Society is all one word, no caps, .com. And the calendar is one of the principal tabs at the top of the homepage when you get there, and it'll list all the classes that we have scheduled. We also have, in addition to classes and consultants, special events. Probably the most special of the events we conduct every year is our annual seminar. The next one comes up on 23 February. This is an all-day event from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. We pay to have speakers come in and give us talks on different topics of interest. This year we're having Joshua Taylor, who's a television personality as well as an author and esteemed researcher in genealogy. You might recognize his name if you followed the TV show Who Do You Think You Are? Or the PBS TV show called Genealogy Roadshow. He'll give four presentations, and we have three additional breakout speakers. Throughout the day, we provide breakfast, lunch, refreshments, door prizes, opportunities to meet brother and sister organizations that we invite. It's a great event. Like I say, it's the only thing during the year that we charge for. It's our major fundraiser. And you can find information about that at our blog or on our website. In addition to those special events, we have monthly meetings, and these take place every third Saturday at 11 o'clock in the Jenkins Wing of the Largo Library. These are really mini seminars when you think about it. Again, we pay to bring in a speaker of note in genealogy circles, and they give their presentation, and it's free and open to the public. Examples of a couple coming up on the 20 October, Susan Well is going to talk about the topic, Was Your Ancestor an Abolitionist? On 17 November, Annette Little is going to give us two talks, one on Quaker ancestor, their history and records, and the other on the Erie Canal and how that affected the opening of the Midwest. That's a special event we call our lecture series. We do one in the spring and one in the fall. That's where an individual comes in and gives two presentations. We take a break for lunch. People bring a brown bag lunch, and it's really quite a nice affair. I might make a comment here about the topics. A couple of the topics I just mentioned, like was your ancestor an abolitionist or the opening of the Midwest via the Erie Canal, those sounds like topics that you might run into in a history class in college or in high school. And genealogy is very closely related to history, and very often we unfold information about our families by understanding the historical events through which they lived and how those events impacted their lives. And so if we understand what event took place and research the history of that event, we understand then about what record sets were created, where they've been stored, and how they might reflect information about our families. So history and genealogy become very closely interwoven. One last topic that I think I should mention is the library databases that we use in our research. In this day and age, genealogy research is becoming increasingly dependent on databases that you'll find on the internet, and then understanding how to use PCs to access that information. In the case of the Largo Library, it subscribes to several databases that normally you'd have to pay for to use, but you can use for free if you're here in the library. A couple of these names of databases you'll be familiar with, at least one, and that's Ancestry.com if you've watched any of their commercials on television. Another database is called Fold3, and this is a database that specializes in military records. HistoryGeo specializes in land ownership. Heritage Quest is a collection of various databases, one of the more popular ones being the census databases. And then the last one is newspapers.com, which is a collection of millions of pages of historical newspapers that you can search through for your ancestors by name to see what information might be in newspapers because of activities your ancestor was involved in. There are a couple of those that I should mention especially. One is Heritage Quest, and the other is newspapers.com. those are subscribed to by the library, but through contractual agreement, if you have a library card issued by Pinellas County Public Library, you can access those databases from your PC at home so long as you go through the Largo Library website. So that's quite an advantage to researchers who want to kick back at home and do their research in maybe a more relaxed venue than the library. So given all that information, I just hope I've demonstrated the breadth and depth of the assistance that the library and the PGS can provide. And I want to remind you, as I did at the beginning, that the type of research that you get involved in depends on the objectives that you have when you start out. And you might want to embrace everything that the study of genealogy has to offer and all of the assistance we can have to offer here in the library. Or you might be just interested in finding some information out about a great-grandfather or something very focused. But whether your interest is on the surface or in the depths of the study of genealogy, we're here to help you, and we hope you'll take advantage of the resources in the Genealogy Center. So thanks, Hannah. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our resource here, because justifiably, I'm very proud of it.
And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Hola a todos, mi nombre es Víctor y soy el bibliotecario de acceso a la comunidad aquí en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. Hoy les voy a hablar sobre un libro muy popular, que su versión cinematográfica está en los cines actualmente, y se trata de El odio que das por Angie Thomas. En resumen, el libro se basa en su protagonista Star. Star es una chica de 17 años que vive entre dos mundos, el barrio pobre de gente negra donde nació, y su escuela situada en un elegante barrio residencial blanco. El difícil equilibrio entre ambos desaparece cuando ella es testigo de la muerte a tiros de su mejor amigo Khalil, a manos de un policía. A partir de ese momento, todo lo que Star diga acerca de la aterradora noche que cambió su vida podrá ser usado de excusa por unos y como arma por otros. Y lo peor de todo es que, tanto los de un lado como los de otro, la tienen en un punto de mira y amenazan con poner su vida en riesgo. Mi reseña es que desde que leí la sinopsis de este libro en inglés y vi que está inspirado en el movimiento de Black Lives Matter, supe que tendría que leerlo, ya que me parecía una de esas lecturas obligatorias que contendría infinidad de valores. Además, conforme pasaron los meses, empezó a aumentar la popularidad del libro y ha acabado convirtiéndose en una de las mayores apuestas juveniles de este año en los Estados Unidos. Star es una chica de 16 años, como les había dicho, y vive entre dos mundos. Uno es el de Garden Heights, es un barrio pobre donde viven principalmente negros, que es un lugar donde nació y donde vive con su familia. Es donde su padre tiene una pequeña tienda y donde están sus amigos de la infancia. Garden Heights es su hogar, a pesar de tragedias y de los peligros que hay ahí. El otro mundo es Williamson. Es un instituto de alta sociedad en los suburbios prácticamente lleno de blancos, donde Star y su hermano estudian. Allí tiene sus propios amigos y un novio blanco. La mayoría del tiempo lleva ambas vidas separadas y en cada una tiene un comportamiento diferente de acuerdo al lugar donde se encuentre. Las partes de los libros que muestran el conflicto entre la Star de Garden Heights y la de Williamson es solo uno de los subtramas que esta novela muestra. Esa misma trama afecta también a sus padres, a su hermano mayor Seven y a su querido tío Carlos. Conceptos como hogar, comunidad, el querer sentirse seguro y la culpabilidad por dejar a otros atrás y las responsabilidades personales son temas recurrentes que van construyéndose y desarrollándose de una manera bastante acertada en la historia. Es parte de lo que hace existir a estos personajes, conceptos que entran en conflicto cuando una horrible tragedia les toma por sorpresa. Todo cambiará cuando Star sea testigo de la violenta muerte de su mejor amigo Khalil por parte de un policía blanco. Su muerte se convierte en noticia nacional, pero todo lo que utilizan para justificar su muerte es que, como se dice en inglés, es un thug, o un maleante, lo que abre el camino para la búsqueda de la justicia, con Star como su testigo único. A partir del trágico suceso, Star se encontrará todavía más presionada entre los dos mundos y tendrá que decidir si contar lo que sucedió aquella noche o callar para siempre. Tome la decisión que tome, sabe que el bando afectado no dudará en hacer lo que sea para proteger sus intereses, aunque sea acabar con su vida. Star es un personaje que empieza siendo neutral, pero conforme avanza la historia y tras la muerte de Khalil, se volverá valiente, pero a la vez empezará a temer por su vida y la de los que lo rodean. En todo momento podemos sentir la presión que recae sobre ella al estar entre dos mundos completamente distintos. Y pese a que ella encaja casi a perfección en ambos, parece que es imposible que los una. Esta historia es un espejo que nos muestra cómo una persona puede encontrarse entre dos mundos completamente distintos, que si bien lo lógico es que se conviertan en paz y armonía, lo hacen constante enfrentamiento y abuso de poder por parte de la policía. Además, es un reflejo de lo importante que es el activismo, la fuerza de las voces cuando se unen en la lucha de una causa justa, y el poder que tenemos de frenar las injusticias con nuestros actos. Pero lo que no se nos debe olvidar es que la historia de Khalil es real. Es la historia de cada disparo que traspasa el cuerpo de una persona negra, cada vez que un policía actúa desde la ignorancia. Por lo que no debemos cerrar los ojos y pensar que es ficción. Porque esta última, en más ocasiones que las que pensamos, es superada por la realidad. También hay que destacar que este libro no se centra en la trama principal, sino que también hay otras secundarias que las refuerzan y que están presentes importantes valores, la importancia de la amistad y el amor, sea cual sea el color de piel. En resumen, el odio que das es un grito de esperanza y fuerza para que luchemos por aquellas cosas que deberían haberse quedado siglos atrás. Con un trama dura y realista, pero necesaria y potente, Angie Thomas debuta en la literatura juvenil con una obra que traspasa el papel y saca nuestra parte más luchadora y reivindicativa. Sin duda, uno de los libros de que más se va a hablar este año. Es todo por hoy y nos vemos en la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for that great book review. Remember to check out the English language translation in the show notes. Thanks everyone for listening. Here are some upcoming library events to keep track of. December 3rd, learn to make challah bread at 6 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. December 4th, New York Times Online at 3 p.m. in Jenkins Room C. December 4th, maintaining a Florida-friendly landscape at 6:30 p.m. in Jenkins Room B. December 11th, Android tablets for beginners at 3 p.m. in Jenkins Room C. December 12th, Ukulele Workshop, Strung and Sing Jam at 6:30 p.m. in Jenkins Room A. December 15th, Might Our Ancestors Have Met at 11 a.m. in Jenkins Room A and B. Remember, the library will be closed December 24th and 25th for Christmas, and we will be closing early at 5 p.m. on December 31st and be closed on January 1st for the new year. Thanks everyone for listening, and we hope to talk to you again soon.